Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome back to episode number 15 of series 3 of the Sofa Cinema Club. I'm Colton Smith, and as always, I'm joined by
Jack P. Shepherd.
Fuck!
Ben Lohan.
I forget every week.
The Sofa Cinema Club is our podcast where we get together to educate each other on films. Now, it's all about the films we should have seen, but we haven't. So each week we set a film for one of us to watch and we come into the studio and we talk about what we loved, hated and rated. But the beauty of our film club is that anyone can join in. All you have to do is watch along at home and then join us every Thursday. This week's film has been chosen by you guys, the audience, as our fourth member. But before we get into it, as always, how has your week been? What have you been up to?
Is the Taj gone, Jack?
Taj gone. 140 gone. See you later.
I know, but you posted it off. Has he got it?
Oh, yeah, he's got it. He's over at Moon.
Bet it was an expensive postage, that.
Yeah. I also sold my Stranger Things Lego set.
How much for?
120.
Whew! You're running a little cash business here out of the old Lego.
You can use that money gun I bought you for Christmas.
Yeah, I can.
But the Stranger Things Lego was built.
That was built. That had instructions as well.
How do you pack it built?
Oh, no, I just demolished it, just threw it in.
But it normally comes in numbered bags. You've crashed it.
Yeah.
You've sent it in one massive envelope and going, good luck, son, there's the PDF.
That's part of the challenge. Part of the challenge.
The first rule of Lego Club is you don't talk about Lego Club. Coulson, how's your week?
Standard. Not. I'm getting the eye roll from Jack already, so I won't talk too much. We're back to work this week, so that's positive. Yeah, I'm just moping around, injured.
What do you want to say? Don't worry about Shepherd. Oh, because you might say you've had a tough week and Shepherd rolls his eyes.
Don't care, does he? Don't care.
Oh, that's not... You have had a tough week, haven't you? You've got to be able to say it.
I'm fine. How's your week been?
God. Moving swiftly on. Are you going to talk about the walk you went on? You walked to Jarrow. You know they did the Jarrow March. You walked to Jarrow.
Basically, I woke up on Sunday morning and I didn't want to be in the city centre. And I was looking at walks to do in Manchester and I thought, oh, that looks nice. I'll go there. And then I thought, oh, it's a 40-minute drive. I might as well walk there. So I walked to the walk and then couldn't find the walk and walked further and ended up in like East Cheshire. I think I walked about 25 miles in one direction.
Oh, didn't you end up in Warrington?
Yeah, I did end up in Warrington.
That's a walk. That's where you're off walk. To. Warrington. It's a long shop.
Do you know what? As well, it was brilliant because it was all along the Bridgewater Canal and it's so flat. That whole 25 miles I did on the canal, there wasn't a single lock. That's how flat it is. So it was literally just rolling. And obviously it was like really muddy in stages, but it was great until... It took me about 5 hours to get one direction, and then my painkillers wore off.
Well, hold on, let's highlight that. You're walking on painkillers. Sounds like you've got an IV drip and you've gone for a walk. Then my IV drip ran out and I had to ring the ambulance.
You got your gown on.
I've got your gown on. I walked to Warrington. How's your leg? I've only got one, a hop.
This is how fucked my head is. I was walking because I can't run. So instead of a 30-minute walk to kind of mooch yourself back in so you can run later in the week, I decided to just go and walk for the entire day, which is probably as strenuous on the body as running. But I now have a new injury, and it's
what's tough. The new injury? What's the new one?
The left knee.
Oh, I'm going to get it in the neck tonight when I go back. You're going to be angry.
I'm not angry. I'm like, I'm just fucked off with myself, and I'm in a this is where Jack's going to roll his eyes.
Well, you did it.
He's not rolling his eyes. He's supporting you. He is. Don't look at the Zoom.
I'm in a constant cycle of being annoyed with myself because I'm then annoyed with myself and because I'm causing it. It's just like a feedback loop of shite, basically. I took it out on Jack, actually, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
With the fucking mugs.
So let's go into this, actually, because I've got a different perspective on this.
This was on the text last night.
On the text. Or obviously, someone asked for a mug, didn't they?
Merchandise.
Yeah.
Merch. That's what the kids call it.
We haven't said anything, but we teased it back to them. We are going to basically release some limited edition mugs, basically. We're just going to start off small.
We're going to open one or two shops round the north.
And then we're taking on Amazon.
And then Bezos is in our sights. He's already been on the phone. He said, don't crash my mug business. Anyway, so Coulson, God bless him.
Took responsibility.
I've got a mate who knows someone who knows someone who knows someone who prints mugs. And we're going to get it all done on him. So he goes, right, I think I found them. They're going to do it. And he sends a photo of the new illustration, which is the Sofa Cinema Club illustration. We'll go on the mug.
But it wasn't the new illustration. You two were just in your own little world. And I said, just to get the mugs, I need to do something to the logo. Otherwise, you're going to have a grey square on the mug. And no one wants that. We need a transparent background.
Yeah.
So I spoke to the artist that did the thing. Got it. And then I sent you it to basically say, oh, look, I'm putting all these extra hours in working on the podcast. Here it is, proof I've done it.
The extra hours. You fucking you tell the fucking illustrator to draw it. But then Shepherd comes in like he works for a bone china factory. Are we not having colours? Oh, that looks a bit shit. Like, suddenly he's done all the work and we are actually running a mugs business. Like, it's John Lewis.
And I turned around and after Jack said it looks a bit shit, I just sent an example of why I'd had to do that. And I was like, well, it's not going to fucking look like that, is it? Yeah, that's why I've done that.
You got drawn into it, Coulson.
But because he hasn't got a clue what's going on, Ben, because he left school at 8 to fucking go and entertain people.
So basically, it's a white mug with a logo on. That's start small.
I mean, it isn't. And like I've said to you two, like I said on text, I'm going to make up 3 samples. And if you think it's shit, you two can do it.
Oh, that's ooh, the hello. It's always that one.
No, that's what I had to leave it on. Because Jack was just fucking asking what the circumference of the fucking mug was. Can we get one that keeps your tea warm?
The other thing to remember is, if we sell even fucking one, it's Jane popping to the fucking post office. The last thing we want is it for it to become a success and someone go, I can't, Jack won't go to the post office.
Options, delivery, £20 for next day or standard delivery, 2 to 3 months.
Standard delivery.
So yeah, so I basically took out some of my stress on Jack, and Jack was all right with being the huge, but he did keep going. He kept.
Yeah, but it's like he suddenly runs Dragon's Den.
I know.
He
I
was
know.
Like drilling into our figures. What do your accountants say? We haven't even fucking started. I mean, bear in mind, we're not going to make any money off the mugs anyway.
I was so tempted to turn around and say, Jack, do it yourself.
Yeah.
But I thought, no, I'm gonna battle on with him because he's just being awkward. He's bored at home. He's got nothing to do, so he's drilling into my figures.
I just want Sean Barton being white, that's all.
Yeah, but everyone has a white... Oh,
you've got a fucking white mug!
Just picked up a fucking white mug.
Someone bought me this.
You see, white mugs work. People have heard of white mugs. It's a thing. I'll tell you what, though, topping out at £60 a mug, it's not cheap.
I mean, they are, like I said, limited edition. And
one.
Yeah.
£6,000. £6,000. We've had an argument. We've all fallen out. It's £6,000 for the mug.
And it's a buyout of the podcast.
And you can't put them in the dishwasher.
Imagine you put it in once and the fucking logo washes off and it's just a white mug.
What you got there? White mug, Sofa Cinema Club. But it's one of those clever ones that when you pour the drink in, it comes up. It's heat. It's a heat one. That's how we'd have to sell them. You need the hot water in first.
So we'll leave it at that and just know that we are working behind the scenes.
Fucking don't hold your breath.
On bringing you a Sofa Cinema Club range, and it's going to be a range because I'm in charge. It's going to be three different ones.
It's a range now.
Ben, what have you been up to?
So you're at home, aren't you? And now everyone's at home. Everyone's thinking about what happens at home. So Maxie's doing the home learning and all this kind of stuff, and you have to do a bit of IT, bit of geography, bit of history, and I'm there in the room with him having a chat. All I hear is this boom, boom, boom. And he looks at me and goes, Dad, I think a tree's come through the roof. And I went, I think you're right, son. It went from dark in his room to bright light.
Oh, God.
So we live next to a kind of forest, don't we? Few trees, whatever. They'd got diseases. What's it called?
COVID?
Ash dieback. And they have to... who's got COVID? And they had to chop them down. So the lad just pulls up, but I thought you had the old timber. Timber! No, boff!
So a guy's cut it down?
There was three. They took out 15 trees. I mean, it went from, like, one side of the house was kind of shadowy because of the trees to the centre of the earth. So we all got out there, said hello to them. I made them a coffee. And he went, don't worry, missed the house. Not by much. So that was the first thing. Second thing, Alex says, oh, don't worry. I've ordered something, this home gym thing. I've ordered it. So we'll be able to do some home gym. Colson's on the home gym. And I get it. Oh, bit of plates, bit of, you know, pushy thingy, whatever. It's a machine. Oh, okay. They've got to leave it in the hall because of the COVID. Can't take it anywhere. It's got to be in the hall. I went, okay.
It's massive.
Jack, you couldn't get into the house.
What is it?
They put it in the hall. It must have been 2.5 metres. Like, the whole hall. Couldn't open doors.
Is it a rowing machine or something?
It's like that, but you could do other things on it. It's basically like a rowing machine. But I said, the classic, don't worry, it's like all Amazon parcels, or all parcels you get, it'll have loads of, you know what I mean, stuff in it, won't it, to build it up. Loads of polystyrene or whatever. Open it. No, it fucking didn't. It was the whole thing. And I'm like, oh shit. It was meant to go upstairs. And I went, there's no chance. There's no chance. We live in this kind of cottage house. There's no chance. And then the question came, oh, you know, well, maybe we could take the wall down. Yeah, great. Why didn't I think about it? Why don't we take the side of the house off and then have it open?
Already had the roof down because of the tree. Why not knock some more walls down?
Oh, dude. Oh. So I had to unpack it and I went, you can't. It's got to go downstairs. So I had to take a bed apart, take some of the stairs apart. We got it in and that's it. You're not getting it out.
No.
That's it. So that was my work. My, it's stressful. Quite looking forward to coming back to work.
Shall we talk about the film then?
Let's go.
So, synopsis time. Fourth member. However, this week, a little bit different because we feel that there might have been a little bit of foul play.
Yeah, definitely.
This film was suggested by our friend, Brooke Vincent. And it went on to win by a landslide on the Instagram. So there was a little bit of foul play. And we think it's purely been done so that Brooke can come on the podcast. So, let's welcome into the room via Zoom, Brooke, to talk to us about why she's picked Parent Trap.
Brooke-o.
Here she is. There she is. Not ready.
Oh,
not ready.
My gosh.
How you doing, Brookie?
I'm good, how are you?
Yeah, good to see you.
Finally got the call up, do you know what I mean?
You're off the bench, you're on.
So it was the kind of call up. So I basically sent Brooke the message saying, producer Henry's on to me, we need you to do the voice note for the synopsis. And Brooke gave me the old, oh, that's really difficult, that's, can't I just come on?
You know what I'm like, I'm quite pedantic about these things and I need to know exactly what I'm saying. I could reel off a 3-minute voice note and it could be wrong, so, you know, I want to make sure... What the synopsis was needed to entail.
A question that Ben always tends to ask people whenever they come on, Brooke, is what sort of films do you watch?
I'm laughing because Jack, probably out of you and Ben, would probably know more about the variety of my films. I don't really watch films. At the minute, everything is kind of like animated because I'm a little boy. So I kind of only really know the films that I've watched. So I'd say probably them ones that are quite easy to watch and there's not much that you have to think about and I can just go, oh, she looks nice.
I remember asking Brooke once if she knew who Al Pacino was and she said, yeah, doesn't he play for Real Madrid?
But no, I always find that I always go for them chick flicks, them rom-coms, them easy watches. And Christmas films are my ultimate favourite. But here I am in the SCC club, finally. So I'll step up my game for my film knowledge.
So you've picked Parent Trap and it won. So we've all had to watch it. Before you give us a synopsis, what was it that made you suggest Parent Trap?
Parent Trap for me is one of them films that I actually put as a bit of a joke because I thought there's not a chance.
6,000 votes later, it was in.
The first time I've ever won a competition, I was buzzing. Thrown it out there, won the competition, and now look at you all watching Parent Trap. But I put it out there because I love the film. Like, I absolutely love the film. And obviously, I know Ben and Jack have both got little girls, and I thought, you know, what a lovely time to bring the family together and all watch Parent Trap. So there we go.
I loved it. Are you ready, Brooke, to give us a synopsis of Parent Trap?
Okay.
Lead us through the story as quick as you like. Don't take the full 2 hours. She's got notes. She's got notes.
I have got notes.
Have you written the notes on your own notebook?
Yeah, this is my own little brand, yeah.
That's why Hello. She's come on to sell.
What a tie-in. Hello.
Putting on the on the correct day, what time I'm here with you guys. You're in. Okay, Parents Trap is basically about two twin girls, or is it one set of twins, whichever way you want to look at it. But twin girls, they go off to a holiday camp, meet each other, under different circumstances, and all of a sudden they realise that they're twins and that they've been separated at birth. They then make a pact to look more like twins because they've got one of them's got long hair and they're allowed to do different things and kind of act like each other, go back to the opposite families and live with them because they want to meet, one of them wants to meet their mum and the other one wants to meet their dad. So when they were separated at birth, basically one mum took one twin. No, the mum took one twin and the dad took one twin. So that's why they're going to swap to see the other mum and the dad.
Very good.
Very good.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. Wait. There's more.
Part two. Back to the notes.
They want to make a pact of getting their mum and dad back together, basically. So they try and do all these different types of traps for them to fall back in love. But then there's a stepmother that's come along and she kind of puts a spanner in the works. So they have to try and get rid of her. But it's just dead funny and it's just dead easy to watch. And I just love it. And I'm obsessed with twins. And actually, what's really funny is I loved the fact that there was obviously twins in the film. And then I see Lindsay Lohan in Mean Girls. And I was like, oh, which one is it? I can't tell you. It confused me for so long. I still can't believe it. I'm not over it. I'm not over it at all. But I loved it. Loved it. And I remember when me and my boyfriend, well, he's not my boyfriend, he's my partner. When me and Kian first started going out, I put it on just because it's just one of them films. You know what's going to happen. You don't have to concentrate. It's a really good film. And he actually watched it. And it's the only film he's ever watched all the way through and not asked any questions.
And from that moment, you knew it's love.
You knew you were meant to be together.
I thought, you know what? If you can sit through Lindsay Lohan, it's confused as me that there's not real life twins in there. We made for each other.
Parent trap and chill.
Yeah, parent trap. Yeah. And then when Tom Hardy did it in I Am Legend, when he come to do the remake of the Crazed film, I was like, oh, that's not my first rodeo. I know you're not a twin.
It flies on you. There's not two of you. That was very good, Brookie. Very good.
Yeah. Oh, God. Have you ever made the cut? Do you need any, like, holiday work going or anything?
Send us your CV.
We might need some merchandise advice. We're having arguments over mugs.
Brooke, before you go, if you had to rate out of 10, what would it be for you?
Maybe like a 9.
High. Okay, interesting, interesting.
Why not a 10?
Because she's not a real twin. It defeats the whole object. I thought it was like a documentary or something, but it's not.
Thanks very much for joining us. Now we're going to crack on and talk about what we loved, hated and rated about Parent Trap.
Love you, Brooke.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
There's our synopsis.
That's the synopsis.
So,
when did you watch it?
I watched it this morning.
Coffee and Disney Plus?
It was exactly that. Yeah, I watched it in bed with tea and toast this morning, about 9 o'clock.
So you're now watching on a tiny TV, aren't you?
Yes, and I felt like I could watch it in bed because I feel this film is exactly what Brooke just summed up, actually, that it is easy watching. You don't really have to concentrate, and it's just on. You know what's going to happen, even if you've not seen it, kind of. It's one of those films that you can put on and you don't really have to concentrate, which is not why I watch films. Just saying.
Just in case you thought I watch films like that, I don't. I watch films. I don't just watch films with tea and toast. I don't watch films like that, all right? Just in case you thought I do, I fucking don't.
What Jack just described is probably the pinnacle of what I look for in a film. I like watching films, and once a week, I like to watch a film where I lose myself, I take my phone away, and I kind of just sit in them in the moment. But I like, Jack's mentioned this on the podcast before, I like background films. Films that I can sit up and just chill out and relax watching. And this probably is one of those films. However, this time is probably the first time I watched it as a phone-aside film. So that led to me seeing different things. How did you watch it, Ben?
So it's actually, I mentioned it to my daughter. She watches it once a year, which I never realised. There's many things I don't know about my daughter. And she went, Parent Trap, love it. And I said, oh, great, you're going to watch it with me? She went, no, I just watched it, so I'm not part. So my son said, I'm going to take one for the team, Dad. Come on, let's watch it. Let's watch it. So we put it on. We knew we were going to have a tea break in between, tea and come back to it. So he sat next to me. Second half, we're joined by dog and wife. First half, just me and him. Comes up, 2 hours 9.
Yeah.
I'm thinking it's Disney, it's kids, it's 1:20. It's 1:20. It's a 1:15. That's all we've got there. 2:09.
Yeah.
Guess how long the original film is?
I don't know.
I've never seen it.
3 hours. I've no idea.
2:09. Wow.
What, exactly the same?
Exactly the same time.
So it's exactly the same film?
Yeah, but I flicked through it. I had a little look at the old one. Yeah, her accent's shocking on the original one. Lindsay Lohan is very, very good.
Yeah, she's very good.
She's very good.
Very good. She's actually the only thing that saves this film. Saved me from throwing something through the telly.
Yeah.
She's very good.
When I first started getting on TV, my neighbour of my parents called me Lindsay Lohan. That was like, it was a thing like Lindsay, like every time he went out with the, just thought,
hi, Lindsay.
And I think it was probably when she was having her troubles as well as a child. Oh, right, and star.
Midlife
and
crisis.
It was big. He used to do it all the time. Brian used to go, Lindsay! I'd be there, like, playing cricket with my mates in the garden. All right, Lindsay.
All right, Lindsay. How you doing? Woof! How's he acting? She acts very well, considering she's probably acting to either nothing or someone stood in.
Yeah, she had a stand-in, actually.
Did she?
Yeah.
That's quite the skill.
It is. Oh, yeah. She also had an earpiece of her own recording of the scene. But she had to do it once, obviously, with nobody saying the lines back to her. Apart from the stand-in, and then once she recorded one version, one side, then they had to do the other side.
I mean, a different accent. She flicked that accent really well.
Mm.
They've basically made the film twice, haven't they?
It took 10 months to film.
Did it?
Yeah.
That isolation cabin, when they were in there,
yeah,
it took them about 2 months like to film in there. And there was one scene, the bit where they put the picture together.
Yeah.
That scene took 6 hours. Just because she had to keep going backwards and forwards into different characters. And apparently it was just absolute, like, so hard to film. And she just got on with it and did it.
Well, most people will be thinking, how do they film a film like this with one actor on the screen at both, on the screen twice at the same time? How they do it is they film one version of just an actor stood there, and then they switch sides and they keep the camera in the same place. Am I right in thinking that?
Yeah, and then shoot the other side and then put them together. Or use a mirror.
But what if there's scenes when they're like hugging each other?
It's always from one angle. Do you know when they're crying? It's always from behind each person, isn't it? So she's hugging a stand-in.
Right.
Then they flip round and she hugs another stand-in.
And the stand-in was about 4 years older than her, wasn't she?
Oh, was she?
Oh, was she?
Yeah. We've used that method a little bit since COVID, haven't we?
At work, yeah.
Yeah, because you can't be so close together. So it is something that is used. But even for us to do that, we know that it adds an extra hour into our scene.
Yeah.
So a whole film, and she's pretty much... I mean, is she in every scene, Jack?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, so they've basically made two films.
Yeah.
I always, because this is the sort of films I watched as a kid, yeah?
Yeah.
I always wanted to go to camp.
I can see you wanting to go to camp. You wanted to be that boy in the girls' camp.
that boy? Do you know who that boy is?
No.
Lindsay Lohan's brother.
Is it?
Yeah.
Family Affair. Get him in.
Her mum's in it, everything. They basically let the whole family
Lohans.
Join.
The Lohans.
Hello.
Hello, Ham.
Never heard that before. I like it.
I want to live in America. Like, that is kind of where my head's been at forever. But, yeah, I think this was probably one of those films that really made me kind of want to go to camp. And there was a point in time where, in effect, Ben basically sent me off to drama school in America.
But you came back.
But when I'd applied and I booked the dates that I was doing, in case I didn't get into drama school, I'd also inquired and, like, sent my CV to Camp America. I was like, well, if I can't go to camp as a kid, I'll go to camp as an instructor. So my backup plan, if I didn't get into the drama school at Lee Strasberg, was I was going to go and teach drama to kids.
I think it's quite good. Our neighbour's done that for years.
I know someone who's done Camp America, and they said it was literally the most amazing thing ever. I mean, as a kid, I would have loved to have gone there. And the films that I grew up watching, Camp Rock, Parent Trap, Cheaper by the Dozen 2, like, they all feature American camp.
Quite a good swizz, that, isn't it? 8 weeks, pack of kids off.
Yeah.
Where you off? Camp is going to be amazing. Yeah, it is, isn't it? 8 weeks, off you go.
Bye-bye.
And it must be perfect, because when they're not at camp, they're in school. So Parenthood 101 in America, they've got it sorted.
My brother, because he lives in the States, and he said the problem is the summer holidays are massive, are longer.
The problem is...
Yeah, that's it. That's the one downer. So you've got to find a way of getting them off for 2 months. So, off to camp, everyone does it.
Yeah.
So you're in camp, Coulson, and you're good at fencing, and you're kind of the king of the camp, aren't you? Good at poker, you're good at fencing, no one's beaten you for years.
No one's ever going to beat me until I come up against...
Yourself.
Myself. And it is, that first scene where they meet each other, the fencing, it's a really clever way to do it, isn't it? They've both got masks on.
Yeah.
So they don't know what each other looks like. They're fighting... They get to that bit where it's been a drawn-out battle. They've kind of drawn, but both won and both lost. Like, it's a weird ending, isn't it? And then they take their masks off and realise that they look exactly the same.
No, that annoys me. They take their masks off and neither of them can really tell that they're identical, but everyone else can.
No, I think they can, Jack. I think they were acting like they couldn't.
Yeah, but then for the rest of camp, they're just sort of pitted against each other and they don't realise that they're actually sisters. They're just, like, enemies.
No, but aren't they enemies because they're
very similar. Isn't that the idea?
I think you've looked too hard into that, Jack.
Wait, I don't think it's looking too hard at all.
You're eating your tea and toast. It's basically, they look the fucking same. They're the same fucking person.
Of course they do.
But the film would be fucked if straight away they went, oh, I must be related to you. You look the same as me. They have to do that bit of, you've got to get them to England, haven't you? And you've got to get her to America.
They do that thing, Jack, where they look each other up and down and everyone's going, can't you see it? You look the same. And she goes, no, I can't. I mean, British girl, Ali, is like, yeah, I can. And then Hallie's like, no. But I think they know, Jack.
Playing hard to get.
Yeah.
I was already lost at fucking both fencing, both looking the same. I mean, you're looking at it too fucking hard here. They're in camp fencing each other. One's come from England, one's come from the Napa Valley. And they're in the same camp fencing each other. What are the chances?
By the way, I never knew this first time I watched it, but I have family in Napa Valley, so I was like buzzing when that came up.
You are Lindsay Lohan.
I am. I've been to Napa Valley loads of times. Well, once. I like that.
Keep it as loads of times. Have you been to that camp?
I've not, but that camp's in North Colorado, isn't it?
Oh, is it?
I don't know.
You looked at this. We don't know.
I do. I mean, it's based on a real camp.
I mean, it's a Sofa Cinema Club trip, isn't it?
I'd love it. And Napa Valley is pretty much exactly the way you see it in the film. Like, my family aren't in wine. They're in dry cleaning.
Massive. Massive in wine country.
I tell you what, it's a fucking big business.
Well, you've got all those wine stains on your clothes.
Yes. And when I went, they took me to, like, the nicest of vineyard, and it was fair. For a kid who doesn't like wine, I was like, oh, okay, this is fairly cool.
Everyone just goes and gets hammered. No one swills it round and spits it out, do they? Just neck it.
I've got loads of pictures of it, like the sampling dish and everything. And it was obviously, I can do wine. I can do like a really sweet white wine, like almost a pudding wine, but I can't do red. And we're there sampling, and there's like this head of the vineyard who had the biggest car collection in Los Angeles, like in this thing. The place was like James Bond. Like, I'll show you some pictures. I'll put them on the Instagram. And we're there like sampling the wine, and you're meant to eat it with certain snacks. And obviously, like, one, I don't like the wine, and two, I don't like the snacks. So there was this bit where I'm trying this red wine, and I was like, ooh, yeah, it's nice. And then they're there going, right, now eat the olive stuffed in this. And I was like, oh, okay, so it was like two things that I hated, and I'm there, like, everyone looking at me thinking, it's the British young kid, like, this is his education, Napa Valley. And I was like, ooh. Yeah, it's lovely, isn't it? Awful.
That Lindsay Lohan's changed. She was used to love the wine and the olives. Look at her now.
Back to the film. So they do, you know, they're head-to-head, aren't they? They're clashing all the time, and they end up playing pranks on each other, and it gets to the point where the camp leader turns around and says, enough is enough. You two are off to the isolation tent.
That is one bit I thought, yeah, you've got two kids not getting on, trying to kill each other. We're going to put you in a hut on your own.
Yeah.
We'll see you tomorrow.
They do that in school. I obviously never got sent to isolation because I was a goody two-shoes.
Yeah, but you weren't just you and the bully in isolation.
Obviously, there'd be someone there.
Exactly. Fight it out. Anyway, so they don't get on, and then they both shut a window and suddenly they get on.
I can tell that you two are going to slate this film.
I fucking hated this film. Parent crap. Oh, don't worry. Don't take it badly.
Don't worry.
I shouldn't like it, should I? I'm an adult.
So they're in the isolation tent, and you slowly start to realise that they've got more in common than they first thought. And it all starts with the Oreo and peanut butter, which is obviously a disgusting combination, but them two both love it. So you start to realise that they've got stuff that's similar, and then they bond, and then they have that moment, and it all kind of comes out in the tent that they realise what's going on. They know their birthday. It's a bit like that Blood Brothers moment, isn't it? Of, do you know what this means? Like, I'm fairly sure we're related.
I'm fairly fucking sure. You look exactly the fucking same as me.
One has a picture of their dad, but they've never met. And one has a picture of their mum that they've never met.
My son said something funny. When she got that picture out of the tin, he went, it's always out of an old crappy tin, isn't it, Dad? And it's always at the bottom. They always do that. It's always right at the bottom. They go, is it this paper?
It is weird that it's in a tin. That is a good point. Like, you carry your tin everywhere with you. But it is the same.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then we basically skip time, 8 weeks of camp. Them two are besties. And whilst they've been in camp, they've agreed that they're going to swap roles. They're learning how to be each other, aren't they?
It's like a Rocky training moment, isn't it? Training up. Who's your grandfather? What's the handshake?
Yeah.
Annie and Hallie obviously decide to then be each other, basically. So we've got the scene where they cut their hair. We've got the scene where they pierce the ear. Did you know, actually, when it came out in England, that scene was removed because they thought an English audience would actually take that and go and try and pierce their ears?
I think my wife did pierce her own ears. At school.
I might try it. If isolation continues to get to me, that's going to be the next stage.
I've just gone into piercing, Ben. I've given it all up. I've gone into piercing. So they go, she goes off to England.
Yeah.
The other one goes off to the Napa Valley. I mean, this was a bit weird. So they're going to meet either their mum or their dad for the first time, aren't they?
Yeah.
I thought Lindsay Lohan did a really good job of recognising it was the first time she'd seen a dad or a mum. I thought the mum in it was bobbins when she realised it was her other daughter.
See, I think Lindsay Lohan is exceptional.
Because
I think you can completely tell the two different characters apart, which is so, so difficult.
Yeah.
Like, you see actors in different films playing fucking different characters of age, let alone playing an identical twin, in effect the same character. She makes it so different and does such a great job of that.
Yeah.
Then even when she's doing the absolute mindfuck, which is playing someone else as an actor, but then as in the character is playing somebody else.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think of that. She's playing Hallie playing Annie.
And her performance is fabulous. So we see her meet a parent. I like the moment she meets a grandfather for the first time. A bit like Ben just said, you really believe that she's meeting these people for the first time. And then the parents, obviously, they just don't know any different. They think it's the same kid and they can't tell the difference. Obviously, there's little bits of suspicion, but, you know, everything's going well in London, isn't it? She's loving her mum. It's amazing. And then we flip back over to Napa Valley and everything's not going as well.
We've got Cruella development. We've got the new wife on the go.
And she is a bitch. When I was watching it, by the way, she's not a nice piece of work. I was angry with her.
You do sound like you are actually Lindsay. I was angry with her. She's not getting my dad's money.
While she's been at camp, her dad has fallen in love. Now, she doesn't know her dad. So she's starting to know her dad. And her dad wants the relationship that they've got together to kind of move on now. When her ulterior motive for being there is to get her dad back with her mum.
And he tries to tell her when they're on the horse. And I went, you'd be fucked if you hadn't ridden a horse. She's in the middle of London. What if she hadn't ridden a horse?
I tell you what, old Lindsay Lohan, yeah?
Yeah.
Allergic to horses.
Whoosh.
Imagine doing that, being allergic to horses.
I'm playing someone else, playing someone else. It's an Oscar. This is an Oscar. Now I've gone into it, it's an Oscar.
How old was she? She like 10, like 12.
She's young.
So we've got the wicked mum, doesn't want her to marry. Then the girls have to chat, don't they, and say, look, danger, UXB, dad's going to get married to this other younger girl.
Panic stations.
Who at the time in real life, this girl, this Meredith, you know, that's playing the stepmom. Her character was 26-year-old and Dennis Quaid was actually going out with a 26-year-old at the time.
Very good stats.
Life imitating art.
Life imitating... Because he must have been in his 40s in that film.
Yeah.
So, basically, it is panic stations. And what happens is the English Lindsay confesses all because she's caught by the butler and says, you've got to take me back to America. Dad knows he's going to meet you in this hotel and we're going to sort it out. American Lindsay hasn't said anything. The only person that knows is like the maid.
Yeah.
Dad hasn't got a clue because dad's just fascinated with his 26-year-old girlfriend that he's going to get married to.
As you would be.
Shepherd's Dennis Quaid, you see it straight off. He's like, there's nothing wrong with this at all. The 40-year age gap is absolutely fine.
They go to view a wedding venue where basically the kids are planning against the parents. One parent kind of knows, one parent's not got a clue. And it is that, you kind of see that bit of the love story between the mum because you never really get to the bottom of why they broke up, but it obviously was that they were young and it was wrong time, wrong place, and it just didn't work out. But the mum is still very, like, fascinated and affectionate for the dad, even though they've not seen. So you see her go through the motions of, I'm about to see him for the first time in 10 years.
Yeah.
That is quite a thing. So they get to the hotel. Nice little bit of trivia for you here.
Mm-hmm.
The mum of Meredith was the original girlfriend.
Ah, really?
Oh.
From the first film. And they kept her name the same.
Very good.
Right.
So in the 79 or whenever that first
61
film,
I think.
Yeah, 60.
In 61, she then played the mum.
Oh,
in
30 years later.
I think there was quite a lot of nods to, like, I think Lindsay Lohan's often humming the soundtrack from the original.
Oh, right, okay.
Because obviously it's a completely new... I mean, this, I think the soundtrack in this film's brilliant, but that's Disney, isn't it? They've got the money to put big songs.
Yeah, they put the Beatles in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, crikey, they've got some money.
You know that... the shot of Abbey Road.
Yeah.
They parked the cars in exactly the same place so that that freeze frame was as identical as they could make it.
I used to live next to Abbey Road.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did you do that famous walk a few times, Ben?
Right, just imagine you live there, right, you've seen it. Imagine how fucked off you get. You're literally trying to cross the road. Or you're driving. And you're driving and someone is waiting for you to fucking go past or stop. And they go on. They go, no, no, go ahead. Don't stop. And then someone runs in the middle of the road to try and get all the Beatles in a row. It's a fucking road.
Yeah.
It's St. John's Wood. It's 2010 now. Let's move on.
Yeah.
You know, we've all done that. Go and pick another fucking pedestrian crossing. So no, I mean, I lived there right next to it for years. Fuck me right off. And then some people wait till everyone's gone off the
gone off,
and then
yeah.
All four of them have to go on.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. And one person takes their shoes off.
Yeah.
And thinks, oh yeah, we've got it exactly right. Go. And you just go, right, plow on. Anyway, that's my rant over.
My sister lived on Penny Lane and it was similar as well, that you could never... Everyone had, you know, like when you turn into the road, there'd just be cars everywhere and it'd be fucking chaos because everyone's stopping to have a picture with the sign.
It's weird growing up on a famous street, isn't it?
There aren't many streets as famous as the one that we grew up on, Jack.
No.
Can you imagine just stopping on that? And do you know what the irony is? Never had a photo on it.
You're not?
No. So anyway, we've done that. Where are we now? We're in the hotel.
Yeah, we're at the hotel and it's the mum's panicking. She's going to see the dad for the first time and she catches him in the lift, doesn't she? She just sees him and she clicks on then that he hasn't got a clue that she's there because he's with Meredith getting it off in the lift and he kind of sees her and the moment he sees her, you go, oh, there's something here. There is something here. And then it's kind of that, you know, the typical panic sketch of one going one way, one going the other, and them avoiding. And it's the reveal of both kids, isn't it? Because one's wearing a cardigan and one's not. And it is kind of... I think that's shot very well in the hotel. I think they've done a really clever job of the elevators and one and that crossover. I think that it works, that kind of panic that they've created.
Mm.
So we're round the pool...
Round the pool, I actually flicked back to the old film. He does actually fall in the pool.
Does he?
I think it's almost shot for shot, you know. I think they've taken that new film and just copied what the old film did. Because you know the bit, they go camping, don't they? They all work it out.
It's this bit that falls apart for me.
I paused it when they were at the hotel because I needed the toilet and realised that it was only 57 minutes into the film and went, hang on.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
the fuck?
What happens now? Yeah. What,
yeah, surely this is nearly over. The film should have ended.
Pretty much after the reveal type thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, when they go into the limo to the hotel, they have the night in San Francisco on the boat.
Yes.
They decide what they're going to do. That is the end
That's
of the
end.
Film. It's a little bit like they had half an idea for number two, but they didn't have a full idea.
Well, I think they wanted to get rid of the stepmom, didn't they? They wanted a big finale finish with her. So they go back and do the camping, don't they?
And the mum doesn't come on the camping trip to leave him with the... That's where it's a bit eggy.
It does sort of fall apart there. It can't sort of end. The game's up now. They know that the kids have switched places. So What are we doing?
There must have been a better way to have tidied that whole thing up with the stepmom rather than, like, because even on the camping trip, they have about four goes of making a breakdown. And when she finally does, you don't care.
Yeah.
And that was my issue. I think if the stepmom had gone, well, you clearly love her more than you love me, I'm out, that would have been better. It's a genuine 40-minute section that isn't needed. Because I was trying to work out at the end, because I was thinking this when I was watching it. I remembered something that you two say about films is sometimes you need the build-up for the ending. And when the ending happened, I don't think...
You were arsed.
Yeah.
What they needed was more of an argument from the mum. What I noticed was they hadn't seen each other for 12 years. They got on reasonably all right. Like, she didn't turn around and went, well, we split up because you were, you know, you said this and you said that. They needed an argument. And she, the mum turned around and go, right, you take the girls away. You have them. You see how it is with the girls or something like that. He goes away and it gave it more of a thing, but they didn't. She sort of goes, oh, no, you go with the stepmum. And then you're like, I can't be arsed. My son looked at me and was like, really? And we looked as well and went 30 minutes to go. I'm like, oh, this is shite. Come on.
I completely agree that I can't defend that bit of the film.
I mean, that's knocked points off.
When it does get to the end of the film, and the whole premise is that he let her go once when he should have chased her, so he's not going to do it again, which is what happens. So the film ends. She basically says, look, we made this agreement for a reason. I'm going back to London with my kid. You're staying here. They'll keep in touch. They'll have Thanksgiving together. They'll have Christmas. And when they get back to London, they're already there because they've got the Concorde. Like, and he says that line to her of, I didn't chase you once and I've regretted it for the whole of my life, so I wasn't going to make the mistake twice, which is a nice moment. And it probably could have jumped straight to that in the first place. So it wasn't that the camping trip built up for that moment.
But they still haven't worked out what the fuck they're going to do. He lives in Napa. She lives in London. What are you going to do?
Yeah. It is an interesting one.
And also, both loaded. Both families loaded.
Both minted. Loaded.
Both loaded. It would have been more interesting if one was and one wasn't.
And he'd go and live with a skimp one.
Yeah, we'd go and live with a rich one and go, no, yeah, good idea, let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah, because obviously Grandad's clearly minted and he's selling wine for millions.
Grandad was loving it, reading the paper. Doing...
We've got butlers and maids.
Yeah, I love how they've both got one. They've both got staff.
You get rid of one. Why does he dress up like Danny Zuko? That pisses me off.
That's funny.
Why?
I loved it.
Why?
Loved it. He's an American.
Don't come as an employee. Come as yourself. He's gone from the tuxedo to the fucking leather jacket.
It's
like
weird.
That's what he wears.
Leather jacket, leather pants. So, are we going to go ratings?
Yeah, I think we've got to, haven't we? Because I've tried my best to really build this up for you. But before that, let's just have a quick break.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Right. Are we ready? I'm going to let you two go first because it's clear that I have quite an affection with this film.
You go first, Joe, because his head's going to fall off.
You see, I am actually a fan of Nancy Myers, who's wrote and directed this film. She wrote and directed Father of the Bride, 1 and 2, Steve Martin, and wrote and directed The Holiday, you know, the
Jude Law.
Jude Law, Cameron Diaz, yeah. Kate Winslet, Jack Black film, Christmas
awful
film.
Awful film.
Not
film.
Well.
Fucking anyway. Awful film.
Good film.
Right, okay, right.
See you, Christmas 2021 special.
So I do think she's very good. And obviously this is a remake of the original Parent Trap. And I think Lindsay Lohan is, like what Ben said, the exception with this film. She is very, very, very good, very talented, and especially she's only like 11 years old. She actually pretended she was ill to her mum and dad, so she got the day off school so she could go and audition for this film. Do you know that?
I used to have to do that all the time. Before I got my first job, school were like, you can't have time off to go for auditions. Like, basically, they didn't understand. I came from a proper sporting school, so acting was literally singing and dancing to them. And when you used to have to get permissions off the council to have days off school for auditions.
Yeah, you did.
And they wouldn't let me do it until I got my first job. So I used to be ill.
Yeah.
Constantly. Or it used to be, because my mum and dad were still quite strict with it, they used to send me to school and make sure that I got sent home from school by 11 o'clock.
And that was your first acting gig.
So, I'd do two lessons and then I'd end up in the first aid room going, oh, I don't feel well. And they'd ring my parents, and my parents would answer and go, well, I'd better pick him up straight away then. I can't have him being ill. Me and Lindsay Lohan, similar career paths.
So go on, Chip.
4.5.
Oh, 4.5.
Oh, fuck. I think it's in the four categories. That ending just pissed me off that it's an extra 45 minutes longer than what the fuck it needs to be. It's annoying. It's infuriating. And it's pointless.
Do you know what? I can live with that because I would have felt that for Jack it probably would have been a 6. And
yeah,
then that ending is massively... It's the camping trip. It's the spin-off. It's Parent Trap 2 that you don't need.
Yeah, it is.
I agree with you on that.
fucking hell. Oh,
just
dear.
Think about lovely Brooke and how lovely she was coming on.
2. For both Lohans. One Lohan, the other Lohan, so you get a point each.
You've got to give us more than that. Why?
Lohan, very good. Story dated, old, shouldn't have remade it. Bit with the camping trip, went on too long. Didn't believe the mum, didn't believe she was shocked to see her fucking child who she hadn't seen for 12 years.
With this sort of film, I always just try and think of Mrs. Doubtfire or something like that. That's like a similar type of film. Parents divorced.
I don't think I've seen Mrs. Doubtfire.
But Mrs. Doubtfire's smart, clever,
yeah,
funny.
That's the thing. This film doesn't cater for adults whatsoever.
And also, I haven't seen it when I was younger. So I've got nothing to go back on.
Yeah.
Two, I'm an old man watching a kid's film going, seeing holes in it. She was very, very good.
Yeah.
Extremely good. I think that is a very... One, she's carrying the movie. She's much better than most of them in it. And two, she's flipping accents. Look, it's a tight film. I get why you like it. I get why Brooke likes it. I get why it won the audience award. I don't think I would be credible if I went 8.5.
Yeah. But also, you even said, and Brooke even said, it's an easy watch. You can put it on and not really think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm not massively, probably a bit like Jack, I'm not massively into easy watches.
Do you know what? You two probably would have enjoyed it more if it was in Korean and had subtitles. genuinely, you probably would have.
I think it was just too
didn't
nice.
Didn't stimulate your brain enough.
Yeah, yeah, it was just too nice. And I was like, I knew the end at the start.
I guess that's probably what they've tried to do poorly with the camping trip, isn't it? Throw that bit of, it's not going to work out the way they wanted it.
And the camping trip isn't in the original.
Oh, is it not?
The camping trip she talks about, she scares the girl by saying there's lions, mountain lions in here and all this. So they had that in the... They'd obviously follow it. Anyway, look, Coulson, go for it. 10.
No, so it's tough, actually, because I knew what I wanted to give it, but I'm going to go 7.
Ah, fair enough.
I was going to go higher, but it does that. That campy trick. It does root, and I understand that you really don't need it. And I think it could have been such a good hour and 25 minute film.
Yeah.
Like it could have been a film that I'm talking about giving a 10 to every day of the week.
Yeah.
But it does. It
fall at the last hurdle.
Yeah.
But for me, you know, I was a Disney kid. I probably still am a Disney kid. 1998, that's the year I was born. So, you know, I think it's a film that I've known my life.
So hold on, what's that? What did you give it there, Coles?
I went 4.5.
4.5 plus 7 plus 2. 13.5.
Okay.
We need to do... We've come to that part in the podcast also. We need to do Shepherd's Hidden Gem.
I desperately want a jingle. Jack's Hidden gem of the week.
We've hidden a gem in Jack. What is it this week, Jack?
This week, it's not actually a film. It's a documentary that you can find on Amazon, but you have to pay for it.
Bloody hell.
I know, it's about £3. But listen, let me tell you, it will be probably the best £3 you've ever spent.
Lottery ticket. When people say that to me, winning lottery ticket. That's a £2. That's the best £2 I've ever spent, and I got a pound back.
Return of 200 million.
Hate to be a shit about it, but that'd be the best £3 as well.
I've got a great lottery story once, Jack. It was when the Euros was 177 million. It was a rollover. And I went to Ben, I went, have you got your tickets? And Ben went, fuck no. So Ben's on the app, downloaded it, and I already had 5. But the app crashed and Ben, like, it came up saying 30 seconds to buy your tickets and it crashed before he got his. So then we had the whole night of thinking, I'm going to win the Euro Millions, and Ben still managed to buy
a
ticket.
I used to love doing is get my wife to read out the ticket. And I said, I've got the phone, and she goes 14. I go, oh yeah. 10, yep. 21, yep. Oh, that's 3. Well, that's a tenner. We've come away with a tenner. We're happy. 44, yeah. 46. Oh, that's 5. I think 5's up to 1,000, you know. 47. Well, that's 6. Don't you have to get 6 or 7?
It's something like 6 or 7. Jump.
And then you go the last one, and then she goes, and she goes, 15? That's all the numbers. We've won 80 million. Have we? No, we haven't. No, we didn't get one. We didn't get have one. We? Nothing. Not even a tenner. So Jack's Hidden Gem is a documentary, £3 on Amazon.
Yes, it's called Mummy Dearest, Mummy Dead and Dearest.
Ooh.
Right? Now, it's spelt Mummy, the American Mummy. So, Mummy, Dead and Dearest. And it's a documentary. And I'm not spoiling anything for you because it happens straight away. The documentary starts and it's a young girl being arrested. She's about 14 years old. It's in America. And she's been arrested for brutally murdering her mother. Stabbing her to death. And what unfolds, it seems as though this young girl has been held captive, been held prisoner by her mother for all of her life. And you're not quite sure who to feel sorry for, whether it's the mother or whether it's the girl. It is a fascinating documentary, and Amazon has actually made a drama series that's out now about the documentary. It's called The Act. Have you heard of it, Ben?
No.
It's got rave reviews, and it's a drama about the documentary. But I haven't actually seen the drama. I've just seen the documentary. It's about an hour and a half long, and it is fascinating. Watch it. It'll blow your mind.
Jack's Hidden Gem. What was it again? Say what it was.
Mommy, Dead and Dearest.
Jack's Hidden Gem.
Of the week.
Are you ready to find out what you're watching next week?
Yes. Parent Trap 2.
Do you know what? Close. A few reasons why I've picked this film. One, we've just watched Parent Trap.
Ooh.
Two.
Oh, it's fucking camp rock.
No. Two, Netflix's release. So I'm combining Netflix's newest release.
Netflix.
It's like Netflix, but no films.
And
$6.99.
I'm so excited to tell you what we're watching.
Go on. Okay, great.
And Lindsay Lohan.
Oh,
next week,
no.
Make sure you're wearing pink because we're watching Mean Girls.
Mean Girls.
Oh, God.
Have you seen it, Ben?
Yes.
I think I've only seen it a few times.
Solid film.
Solid film. You're talking like it's a football team or a car. Solid team. Solid play out that from the back. Mean Girls. Very good. Yeah, got them in defence. They're brilliant. What you got up front, Parent Trap? Oh, I'll tell you what. You've got a team there, haven't you? What's on the right, Camp Rock? Fast.
I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. And if you guys at home want to keep in touch, you can do. We're at Sofa Cinema Club on all the socials. Keep a look out on our Instagram because we'll definitely be putting loads of stuff on there. We use it more than anything. Yeah. So
and keep leaving a review. People have started leaving more reviews. Really good on the iTunes.
Yeah, on the Apple ones. Everybody keeps... Yeah, you have to keep doing reviews on that one because that's the one that matters.
Literally, reviews, subscribe, and please, we don't always beg for this, but please share the podcast with your friends. Let them know what you think about it. Get it out there. Spread the word. Our numbers are growing, and we want to continue to grow the
film
club.
We need to sell these
more and more.
We need to sell.
And I've just ordered 40,000 mugs. it was a cheap way of getting them, so you better fucking share it.
Tell your mates.
Tell your mates, order a mug, whether they drink or not. They've got to drink out of something. Just drink out of our mug.
We will see you same time next week. Good night. God bless.
Good night. God bless.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.